How's it going, everybody? Pete Jensen, Michael Leboff back with you. NHL Action Network collab for week 10 of the NHL season. Mike, so many crazy comebacks going on. Scoring is up across the league. Really excited to get to everything today with you, man.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we're seeing, last year we saw this like influx of overs hit and favorites crushed, and the trend this season seems to be, you know, if you're down two goals, if you're down three goals, if you're down four goals in the NHL, like, you're still in the game. It's the two goals is now like a one goal lead. Three goals is now, you know, four goal lead, whatever you want to say it. And I think that really leads into some interesting betting opportunities if you're watching games, right? Like the best way to find like live betting value. Sure, you can look at stats from like Money Puck or Natural Stat Trick and try to find, you know, is this team tilting the ice and just getting unlucky? Is like this, it's just a hot goalie, you know, keeping a team that's up 3-1 in a game. But if you're watching a game and you see the ice tilt and you think, oh man, like this team's down 3-1, but they're just not having the luck, I think there's money to be made here on this trend. I think now we're two months into the season. I think we're starting to see what was like a kind of a funky trend turn into, no, this is just what the game is now.
Right. There are a couple games that stand out to me that kind of exemplify the whole season recently. There was that Montreal-Vancouver game where Vancouver was down 4-0, came back and tied it, then gave up the lead, then came back and won it. There's that 9-8 Kraken Kings game where the Kings were down 8-5, came back and forced overtime, just wild stuff. And then, of course, that Sabres-Blue Jackets game the other day where even, you know, it was the Tage Thompson show, but really Columbus did some damage in the third period. It was just like an absolutely wild in terms of the floodgates opening on either side at any point. So which teams around the league are you seeing that are kind of benefiting from all this chaos and returning some value? I know the Blue Jackets are one of those teams. Now that they're getting healthy, maybe there's some allure to them.
Yeah, I think that what you want to look for are, and let's talk about the Blue Jackets. I think that the Blue Jackets were a team that on a kind of a betting blacklist for me for a long time. And I know it's easy to say now that they've won a couple of games in a row, but they're starting to become interesting because they're leaning into this chaos. They're leaning into, look, we're not John Tortorella's Blue Jackets from a couple of years ago where we're just going to smother a game and, you know, strangle the life out of our opponents. We're going to embrace the fact that we're a pretty flawed defensive team, but we have finishers. We've got scorers. We've got a lot of talent going the other direction. And if we can just get one more save than you, you know, we like our chances. And I think that makes them a dangerous underdog. They're playing like to their identity rather than trying to win a game that's being managed by another team. They're still going to lose much more often than they're going to win, I think, for the rest of the season. But with these high event games, they're kind of like a great poster child for what we're seeing, because look, the Blue Jackets, if they go down 2-0 early in a game, you're going to see the books, because they're going to most likely be a big underdog going into that game, you're going to see the books put a huge price on them to come back and win. But what do we know about this team is like they can score in bunches. They can do it quickly. They've got Johnny Gaudreau and Patrick Laine. Those guys may not play great defense. We know they don't play great defense. But they can score real quick. They can get the team back into a game real quick. So those are the kind of the teams I'm looking for, rather than, okay, like the simple thing here for if you're like a casual or novice better is, okay, the Lightning are playing the Red Wings. The Red Wings go up 2-0 early in a game thinking, oh, the Lightning will come back, but the number's just not going to be good enough, right? Because the Lightning are probably going to be the favorite in that game. And the book can, you know, the algorithm will say like, this is a favorite down, not a big underdog. Whereas on the other hand, like, just because the Blue Jackets were an underdog going into a game, like the algorithm's going to probably not, you know, adjust for the games or like the trends of the NHL this season. So they're just going to slap a huge number on big underdogs down early in game. So rather than back the favorites who go down early, I would circle the underdogs, because and a team like Columbus who thrives in this chaos, or, you know, just relatively thrives. I shouldn't say they thrive in this chaos because they're still not a good team, but they're good in it. Like those would be the teams I'd be looking to back, like these kind of pesky underdogs. The Senators would be one for that I would look to as well. Like teams that maybe entered a game plus 150, plus 200, and now they're down 2-0, but they can score. You're going to get a really, really big number on them to come back.
And Mike, you're also seeing a trend. I know you were talking to me about it before the show. You're seeing a trend where massive underdogs are actually faring surprisingly well. And to me, the team that stands out as an example of that is the Arizona Coyotes. I mean, look at the massive upsets that this team has pulled this season. Toronto Maple Leafs on the road, Carolina Hurricanes on the road before Thanksgiving. And then the other day, the Boston Bruins on home ice. I don't think anybody saw that one coming. So what are your thoughts on the Coyotes? And are there any other teams that you've seen pull off massive upsets when the stakes are heavily against them?
Yeah, so underdogs this season, just generally, any team that closes an underdog, they're not profitable. If you'd bet every underdog, you'd be down. However, if you bet every underdog that closed at plus 200 or longer, they're very profitable. 23-41 on the season. That's a 36-ish percent win rate, 35.9 to be exact. That correlates to like plus 178 odds. So you're already dealing with, you know, 22-cent gap between 178 and plus 200. You would be up $1,229 and a 19.2% ROI by our database at the Action Network, which goes back to 2005-06. This would be the second best season for these kind of underdogs behind 2007-08. And the past two seasons, the shortened 2020-21 season and last year, were the two worst for, you know, big underdogs that we've ever seen in our database. So maybe it's just course correcting, but I also think it's just, you know, these without the restrictions and all that, like these, even if you're a bad NHL team, it's still fun to come to the rink. And I think that the floor has been raised in the league a little bit because teams like you said, the Coyotes, the Canadiens, like these are pesky underdogs. And the Coyotes, like we've been talking about the Coyotes a lot on this show. People, you know, they call them my second team, and I don't, you know, I'm not arguing that notion at all because they keep delivering once a week. They're just taking down a giant. And it's, we just talked about all these teams that kind of thrive in the high scoring chaotic part of the league that we're seeing. Whereas the Coyotes, they're kind of an old school underdog. They're a, you know, pre-COVID era underdog where they just hope that Carol Vimelka someone. And that's happening. Like he's keeping them in games. He seems to be a guy who really does his best work when he's seeing like 35, 40 shots a game. And he's been awesome. He's if he was on a better team, this guy's getting talked about in like a top five. Is he a top five goalie in the league conversation this season? So anytime he's in the net, like the Coyotes have a chance. And you know, we talked about the Blue Jackets and the Senators being kind of the underdogs you would back in like these crazy high scoring environments. But what we saw with the Coyotes against the Bruins or the Hurricanes, not teams that maybe thrive in those like 6-4 type games, but more like 4-1s or 3-0s. The Coyotes, that's probably their best game too. So, you know, it's finding those matchups when the Coyotes are playing a team like Boston or Calgary, someone who's maybe not going to light it up, who doesn't want to play north-south all night. Like the Coyotes are in these games. They work hard. They've got the goalie. So keep them on your list, man, for sure. Like the Coyotes, the Canadians still doing it. Like these teams are going to continue to pay off, I think.
And with the Coyotes, you mentioned Vimelka, 9.13 save percentage and 2 shutouts on the season, and he's 8-7-3. So he's actually faring better than, you know, the norm for the Coyotes. It's been fun to watch him. And also Jacob Chychrun, if you're in on shot props, like Jacob Chychrun is one of the best defensemen out there, and he's got 9 points in 10 games on the season, something like that. So he's actually made a big positive impact on the Coyotes since returning from injury. But when you're looking at some of these sneaky teams, the other angle in a betting standpoint, Mike, is to look at which team is most likely to finish with the worst record. And I know that you follow those trends over the course of the season. Anybody jumping out to you, trending in the wrong direction?
Yeah. So the Philadelphia Flyers were a team I liked a bet on before the season, to finish with the worst record. They were around 12-1. I believe they went off at maybe a little higher than that. They're 20-1 right now. They are 8 points ahead of Anaheim, who has the worst record right now. But there's so much time left in the season that I think the Flyers have played one more game than Anaheim, and there's a bunch of teams between Anaheim and Philadelphia in the standings and on the odds boards. But this Flyers team, whereas like the Ducks, you can see them kind of growing into the season, right? They've got a lot of young players. These guys will kind of just get used to the ebbs and flows of being full-time NHLers and playing in this kind of environment where, you know, they're not playing for a playoff spot. Same thing with the veterans who are there, guys like Ryan Strome and Frank Vetrano. Like there is a different kind of skill set that will have to emerge for them to kind of motivate themselves throughout the season. Whereas the Flyers, like there are some young players there, but it's not there yet. Like they're not in the same kind of form that the roster form that like the Canadians, the Coyotes, the Ducks are in, whereas like they've got their kind of foundational pieces already in place and they're just, you know, building around them. The Flyers don't even aren't even there yet. So I think 20-1, you know, especially with like Carter Hart's kind of injury history, his form has been, you know, up and down throughout these long seasons. They're definitely a value play here because this team is not one that I could see. First of all, they're going to be torn down to the studs when it comes time for trade deadline as well. Like, and it's just, you know, John Tortorella plays his teams real hard and you could just see them kind of sputtering out towards the end of the year. So I don't think that this number is going to get larger than 20-1. I think we've already seen the Flyers' best hockey this season as well, like that for the start. And that's giving you an opportunity to buy back in here at a good number.
Right. And you mentioned it. I mean, some of the performances we've seen around a point per game from guys like Hayes and Konechny and JVR early on in the season, like that's not likely to continue. And then when you look at their metrics, they're already pretty bad. Third worst 5-on-5 shooting percentage and seventh worst in possession shot attempts percentage. Like it's probably going to come down further, not to be the bearer of bad news here, but yeah, I think you're onto something there for sure.
And I mean, even think about, like we talked about the Blue Jackets, right? Like the Blue Jackets are behind the Flyers right now, but there's like a buzz about them still. Like they're showing up to the rink. They're playing 6-5 games. That's a lot more fun than, you know, going to a rink and trying to grind down a team and win 2-1 when you're 20-30 points behind in a playoff race. So there's definitely some psychology to it. I think that it's unlikely to win. They're 20-1. They've got a lot of competition in this market. Teams like the Blackhawks and, you know, the Sharks, the Ducks, like they'll all be sellers at the deadline. But I think the Flyers are going to be in the thick of this race for like the worst record here.
Very interesting. I also wanted to ask you about one particular awards race. We mentioned it on one of the previous Fantasy on Ice shows, Tage Thompson for MVP. That's a long shot, but it's not a long shot that he could get into the Rocket Richard conversation because he's only 4 goals behind Connor McDavid and 2 behind Jason Robertson. So in light of that 5-goal game the other day, are you believing in Tage Thompson from that standpoint at all?
I mean, he's been something else, but I just like you're betting him against, like, just look at the cohort of players he's going to have to beat out for the rest of the year. He got himself in the race, but McDavid,
tough.
Yeah, Robertson, Dreisaitl, Pasternak, you know, Matthews, Mikko Rantanen, Kaprizov. Like there's some ridiculous players that he's just going to have to keep this pace up against. And think about the fact that it took a 5-goal performance for him just to get himself to this point. You know, he's not going to have another one of those this season, I would bet. So I think he's a great player. I think everything he's kind of, all the hype he's getting he's earned it and it's worth talking about. But a lot of times, like when you're thinking about betting these awards in season, when a guy does something like that, you've already missed the boat. We talked about this with Erik Karlsson too. Like he came in at such a long number to win the Norris, has a great start to the season. And then his odds just completely plummet. When you see something like that, you're like, well, I probably already missed the boat here. What you want to do is try to find like the next guy. And you know, that's much easier said than done. I think like if I would want to bet like a real long shot in this market, it would be like someone like William Nylander, who's like on pace for, you know, mid-40s. And if he has a huge couple games or something, could put himself up there. And obviously with that team, he's already got to beat out Austin Matthews. So it's a long shot for a reason, but you know, you'd want to, if you are trying to get in on this market, like look at guys like that and try to figure out who's the guy who's trending in the right direction and a spike is coming.
Speaking of trending in the right direction, I remember in the preseason when we did the YouTube draft show, you were talking all about the Washington Capitals and how all they would have to do is weather the storm and then they would charge up at some point. That's starting to happen now. Since they got TJ Oshie back, they're really playing well, 7-2-1. So I wanted to revisit your future Stanley Cup, not prediction, but you're leaning on the Capitals that they're still capable of something like that and see how you're feeling. They got Orlov back yesterday. Yeah. And sounds like Tom Wilson and Nick Backstrom maybe somewhere on the horizon.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago that looked like a terrible, terrible bet. And I still think it is, right? Like I think that with the way that Washington started, I think that the team that they are is probably somewhere in between the way they started and the team that they are showing right now. I just don't know if I could trust this team. And it stinks to admit, because like I said, like I was big on the Capitals coming into the year. Yeah, I've got a bunch of Capitals to win the Stanley Cup tickets hanging around, but I don't feel that confident. In fact, like I think on a game to game basis, starting now, like it's probably time to sell right there. Cause a lot of people are having the conversation you and I are having right now, which is, here come the Caps. They're doing what they're going to always do. They'll make the playoffs. They never miss the playoffs. You know, they're hot. They're just going to, you know, do what they always do and make it, you know, and we'll be talking about them with like 101 points in April. But I still think that there's enough flaws here that they're probably overvalued when people start talking about them like that. So they're a sell team for me in terms of, you know, just on a game to game right now. They were a big favorite against the Kraken the other night, which I know that Seattle was dealing with some injury issues and Washington ended up winning that game, but I thought that line was a little off. And I'll be looking to bet against them here in this coming week. The schedule, I don't think is too kind if you're trying to do that against Washington, because they're in Chicago on Tuesday night. And unfortunately I'll probably be on the Blackhawks for that one, because I think you're going to get a pretty good number on Chicago at home. But yeah, Washington is a team that I would be looking to go against here.
It's going to be fun to bet, I feel like, on the Washington Capitals in different aspects. Like you could look at that Dylan Strome revenge game that we just talked about. You could get on the Alex Ovechkin milestone chase for 800 and beyond. Of course, as it gets closer to Gretzky, we'll have even more fun with that, I would imagine. But is there anything you would advise people with some of these milestones? Like I know Ovechkin is near an 800, Stamkos is near in 500. Sometimes the pressure mounts. Do you ever get involved with betting some of those props involving some of those guys that are chasing big things historically?
Yeah, Nick Martin, my partner on Line Change, and then who fills in biweekly here. He was the one who kind of talked me into shot props for revenge games, because guys will, you know, they will be shooting more. Like if the quote unquote, like trying harder against a certain team, like that usually manifests in shots, and, you know, they'll want to, you know, shoot from anywhere and everywhere on the ice. One thing I will say though, when Alex Ovechkin gets within a hat trick of 800, when Steven Stamkos is he within a hat trick yet of 500, like when those kind of things start happening, where guys are three goals away from a milestone, I would bet the hat trick. That would be the way I would try to get in. I know like there's some sports books out there offering like the team that the game where Ovechkin gets the 800, and that's a fun market. It's pretty hard to find value in those, but it is fun to bet. But if he's when it gets to the point where he's sitting there three goals away, I would bet the hat trick, because on the chance, I mean, he's how many two goal games has this guy had in his career? A ton. And on the chance that he's, let's say the Capitals are up, you know, 4-1 and Ovechkin's got two in his pocket, you know who's playing those last 2 minutes of the game, and the net will be empty, right? Like it's going to be Ovechkin. So that I think is an interesting angle when guys close in on those, because everyone on the bench is aware, the coach is aware. So it's and those are big, always going to be big numbers. So you'll get like, you know, real long shot bet on Ovechkin to nail a hat trick.
No doubt. So Stamkos is currently at 496, Ovi currently at 797. So heed Liebhoff's advice on those situations. What's your situational spots for the upcoming week from a betting lens? Some good games. I know your Islanders are playing at the Bruins. That's one that jumps out to me on Tuesday, but let everybody know where you're picking your spots this week, betting wise.
Yeah, we could start there. I think that the Islanders have kind of shown this season they are a team you want to back as a big underdog and a team you want to fade as a big favorite. They're able to play up to any team in the NHL, and they're going to play down to a lot of teams in the NHL as well. Right. Like you look at their current stretch, right? They beat the Devils the other night, but they also had a couple of losses. They had a loss to the Flyers in there a few weeks before that, the Coyotes, Predators team that was on a back-to-back. So the Islanders are a team that when you see a big number on them, you might want to take it. When you see a big number that you're going to have to lay to play them, you might want to run away or bet against them. I'll be on the Blackhawks almost certainly on Tuesday night against the Capitals. That's a game and I've had circled now, because I know, I think Washington, they're not this good, and the numbers are good. The underlying metrics are good, but I think that we've got a long, big enough sample in the season that they're probably closer to a wild card contender than a you know, a Stanley Cup contender. So I'll be looking to go against them. And one team, like, we'll let's return to the Blue Jackets. No team in the NHL has been kinder to overbetters over the past two seasons than Columbus, and I just don't see that changing. They were the only team that's close to them is Florida. They play each other tonight, they play each other on Tuesday. That game it's a square play, but I like the over there. Two teams that they can fill the net, and they're not great defensively. So I'll be looking at Columbus overs. Nick Martin's really big into Sabres overs. I think that trend will also continue. And I think that if the Devils, I like the Devils tonight actually against the Rangers, but if we still start seeing these huge prices on the Devils, we're starting to see them start to trend down a little bit in terms of 5-on-5 play. They're not hanging around like a 60% expected goals anymore. Their last 10, they're like 55, which is really good, but it's not elite. So the Devils, Capitals are teams that I'll probably be looking to fade later in the week, as long as I can get some good numbers to go against.
Yeah, and the Sabres, who you were talking about just now, are playing the Kings on Tuesday. I mean, that has 6-5 wacky play written all over it, I would say. And then, you know, looking at some other spots this week, Kraken at Lightning. I know the Kraken have some injuries, but keep an eye on those, because I do think the Kraken are probably a deeper offense than the Lightning this season. So, you know, tread carefully with that one, but that's another Tuesday game that could get a little wonky. And then the New York Rangers, they get a chance to avenge maybe that matchup when they lost a couple of Mondays ago to the New Jersey Devils on home ice. They get them again. Devils had a bad game against the Islanders the other day, but the Rangers are definitely trending in the right direction. And I wanted to ask you about them. Do you think that their kind of recipe is to play lower scoring hockey and, you know, batten down the hatches a little bit in front of Shesterkin? And then do you see that there's any buy low appeal still on the Rangers? Because I think a lot of people picked them to win the cup this year or to go far in the playoffs again, and they haven't shown anything that resembles that type of a team so far.
Yeah, they're a strange team. Their underlying metrics were really good and they weren't getting the results. And now the last 10, their underlying metrics are not great. Their last three, they got outplayed and they end up winning all three. So I'm handling the Rangers with care. I still think that they'll be a little overrated. I think that they're overpriced, like, even at home against the Devils tonight. So the Rangers are also a team that I'm probably not, I think they're a good underdog team. They'll still be good underdog teams when they're playing like the elites of the league, because of Shesterkin. But we saw that against Vegas. We saw that against Colorado, but I'll be, yeah, staying away from them if I have to lay anything. So yeah, that's a team that I think, like the Capitals, people are starting to talk about them more in a good way. And that's should be a signal to you to take a step back and think, like, are they now overpriced? And I think that we'll start to see them be overvalued, especially if they beat the Devils. And I know we're short on time, but I just want to mention one quick long shot bet that I like. And sure. You know, we talked about Rick Bowness in the preseason about he's the right coach for the Jets, and he's probably the wrong coach for like every other team in the NHL. That narrative is starting to creep out into the mainstream. There's a lot of people like throwing flowers at his feet. He's still 28-1 to win the coach of the year. If the Jets win that central division, which I think is quite possible with the way that the injuries are piling up with Colorado, I think he'd be the favorite to win that award because of the story behind him. So Rick Bowness, 28-1. That's my long shot bet of the week. He's a Jack Adams darling right now. He's like 23rd on the list.
I mean, maybe we thought we would have been talking about Hellebuck for Vezina, but other than that, to hear Josh Morrissey's name sniffed in the Norris conversation, or Rick Bowness for coach of the year, Jets fans must be thrilled to hear that, but we're all pretty shocked about it. But that was a great call in the preseason and could certainly happen. Mike, let everybody know what's going on with the Line Change podcast. It's a great listen to complement NHL Fantasy on Ice, and I've been listening all season, man.
Yeah, every Tuesday and Thursday, we preview the big slates in the NHL. We talk through, you know, futures and stuff, Nick Martin and I, and we're getting to, you know, the business end of the season here. And it's quick. It's, you know, 15, 20 minutes of your time just to get you set up. And we do try to not just talk about the slates, but kind of like this show, set the stage for the weekend on the Thursday show and stuff, and just talk about teams we have circled. So definitely a good compliment to the show if you are someone interested in punting on hockey.
Yeah, definitely. And one other play for Monday that I wanted to mention. I like Calgary to win on the puck line at Montreal, who has a lot of injuries. Producer Bobby said Calgary in regulation. So I just wanted to mention that one, that we like Calgary's bounce back appeal here and now, and also for the rest of the season. Yeah. So great stuff, Mike, and have a great rest of the week, and we'll talk again soon.
You as well, man.
All right. That was the NHL Action Network collab for Week 10. Remember to check out Fantasy on Ice Week 10 waiver wire pickups. We'll be back at you next week. For Michael Leboff, Pete Jensen, thanks for listening.